He is the ultimate source of all good things. God is sovereign. It is He who sovereignly willed all our circumstances. It is He who sovereignly willed our friends, our family, our school, our work situations, the people around us, even our church. It's He who sovereignly willed our health, our abilities, and our talents. He's in control. He's the source of every good gift. Of course, we do give thanks. We are grateful. We give encouragement. Those that bring us happiness, encouragement, good things, we say thank you. But we recognize that they are channels of God's goodness. They're not the source. God is the source of every good thing. We must recognize Him as such and give praise and thanks and worship for all the good things He gives us. So my title this morning is just that: How Good is Our God? And we're going to focus on that just for a few minutes, thinking of all His goodness. Verse 17, it's from above, coming down from God. I want to focus firstly on God's goodness to us here and now in the present. A rhetorical question. Did anyone here sleep on a park bench last night? Don't think so. Did anyone here go hungry last night because they've got nothing to eat at home? I doubt it. But there are people in this country, and millions, who did. Do we give thanks every day to God for His physical and material blessings, everything that we enjoy? We have enough food to sustain us, a bed to sleep in, a home, a roof over our heads, health and strength to come out this morning, enough money to live on, maybe a job, enough money for a few little treats, a trip to the cinema, a trip to a tea room, a short break, a holiday, or just a quiet evening at home where we can read a good book, watch a good film. Our God has blessed us in so many ways. How good is our God to us? Do you give thanks for all the personal and social blessings that you enjoy? Do you have a husband or wife? Children, parents, a family, friends around you that support you and encourage you, a church family, people that you know and love and who can help you, encourage you, support you, people to talk to share with, to enjoy activities with, to laugh with, to cry with, to speak to listen to. We have been so blessed with our family, the wider church family, and our friends. Let's not take them for granted. God has given us to them, and them to us. How good is our God? Do you give thanks to God every day for all the spiritual blessings, the eternal blessings that we have in Christ? Do you spend time meditating on the total forgiveness that Christ offers on the cross? The fact that you have a restored relationship with a living and almighty God. The sustainer and creator of the universe is your heavenly Father. You've been adopted into His family. You have new spiritual life, eternal life. You're a new creation. As His children, we know real security and real joy. We're clothed in Christ's righteousness, even though we never, ever deserve it. But has it struck you that that list that I've just read, those spiritual blessings, those eternal blessings, so many of them too, you have them here and now? It's easy to think of the obvious things, the visible things, our circumstances, food on the plate, friends that we can see. But so many of our spiritual blessings are real and true and for here and now. If you are his child, then you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You have been cleansed. You have been forgiven. You have been justified. You are a new creation. You've been adopted into a new family. Jesus is your brother. The Lord is your Father. You have, right now, God's Spirit living in you. Isn't that amazing? Already. Just listen to Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms. We have those spiritual blessings, so many of them already. How good is our God? What doesn't come across in the translation is in the original Greek, this word good has got sort of three elements to it. The very act of giving by God is good. God the giver is good. And every gift is good. You see, as his children, we know that God's gracious provision is perfect, is complete. How can he not shower us abundantly with good gifts, all that we need? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? But in the context of James 1, we have to go even further, a bit more challenging. As we come to God and give thanks for his goodness, can we do so even in the midst of trials? You see, even trials are to be seen as a sign of God's love. He can turn every circumstance to our good. We know that, don't we? He loves us, and as he loves us, he sends us trials to test us, to strengthen our faith, to deepen our knowledge of him, to cause us to know him, his word, his spirit, his promises in an ever deeper way. I read these verses 3 weeks ago, but they're still very relevant from Hebrews 12. This is a word of encouragement from the writer. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained. That's how we're to approach our trials. How we need to pray for greater wisdom and greater faith when they're in those trials, trying to see things from God's perspective. He still loves you. He still cares for you in those trials. Trying to see things through the lens of his word. Read his word. Hold on to his promises. God is good. How good he is, even in the midst of trials. To give even greater joy in all our situations, this wonderful, this generous, this loving, this caring, this giving God never changes. You see, the light of the sun does change. It moves. It causes shadows. And then it disappears. God is not like that. There is no shifting with God, no shadows with him, no darkness in him whatsoever. There are no bad moods with God. There's no vindictiveness with God. He's never tired. He's never irritable. He doesn't send punishment for the sake of punishment. There may be trials and tests, but they're for our good, for our benefit. They're signs of his love. And he showers us with so many blessings, so many good things. Our Heavenly Father is a constant source of light, a constant source of goodness, a constant source of blessings. How good is our God. But James doesn't leave it there. As we move on to verse 18, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. God's goodness stretches back into time as well. Let's look back in the past. How has God shown his goodness to us? Well, the clue's in the verb, isn't it? He chose. He chose you and me, if you're his child, before the foundation of the world. It was nothing to do with us. We weren't there. There's no credit to us. We played no role in it. It was his own will and decree. He chose us. What does that mean? Well, surely we've got it by now. That means it's all his work. It's by his will. It's by his power. It's by his grace. It's by his mercy. It's by his plan. It's by his word. It's by his decree. It's by his spirit. It's by his son. It's by his sacrifice. And that means all the glory goes to him and him alone. All of these blessings that we have, all of God's goodness in Christ is sure. When Christ cried out on the cross, "It is finished," it was. It was done and dusted. It was sealed there and then, finished, complete, sure and certain. There can be no more doubt. Amazingly, wonderfully, somehow, back before the foundation of the world, you and I were part of God's eternal plan, his perfect plan. Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. He has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a will. Nothing will thwart it. You and I as his children are part of that plan. Let's praise and worship the author of that plan. How good is our God. But James doesn't stop there either, does he? Let's carry on. That we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. We also have God's goodness to look forward to in the future. We're not there yet. We're the first fruits. The harvest is still to come, and what a glorious harvest we have. We may only get glimpses, and sometimes puzzling glimpses, of what awaits us, but we know it's going to be glorious, it's going to be wonderful. We will finally see our precious Lord and Savior face to face. We will be in his presence. We will be able to worship our Heavenly Father, the author of this plan, the one who chose you before the foundation of the world, and worship him along with peoples from every tongue, tribe, and nation. If you want an idea, then let's listen to these wonderful words from Revelation 7. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living water, fountains of waters. and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. How God is good, even in the future. Wonderful things to look forward to. I just want to focus on that word, first fruits. Originally from the Old Testament, of course, it was the first fruits of the harvest. They were special, singled out, separated, devoted to God, consecrated to God. We too have been called out. We're to be separate from the world, different to the world, go against the flow of the world. We're to be devoted to God and his service for the praise of his glory. Of course, there's also an element, and that came out in some of the verses, that in terms of James and his readers, from the New Testament perspective, James and the eyewitnesses of Christ were also first fruits in that sense. They were the first believers, the early church. After Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. The new covenant was sealed and delivered as he came. Christ's perfect sacrifice and resurrection had happened. They were the first fruits, the early church. But I want to go beyond that. We have the first fruits from the Old Testament perspective, the first fruits from the New Testament perspective. Well, what about us? Has it ever occurred to you that we too are first fruits? Has it ever occurred to you that we are described as a new creation? We're looking forward. It's not here yet, but the Bible says there will be one day a new heaven and a new earth. Has it ever occurred to you, to change the phrase slightly, that his children are the first shoots of that new dawn, that new era? We are the first shoots of a new creation that is to come. This world will disappear. This world is groaning and waiting for its liberation. Listen to Romans 8. Creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. We have something wonderful to look forward to. One day our resurrected body will be a perfect body. We will know no more pain or sorrow. Our soul will be perfected, no more sin and sadness. We will be part of a new heaven and a new earth, but we are already a part of it. We are those first shoots. But we have so much more to look forward to. My friends, let's make sure we're ready. Are we getting ready for what really matters? Are we walking with the Lord? Are we trusting in the Lord? Are we standing firm in the Lord and on his promises? Are we committed to serve the Lord, whatever the cost? Are our eyes fixed on the Lord? You see, that should be our perspective. The glory that awaits us should spur us on. We need to be reminded that this world is passing. It's temporal. It's the next world that really matters. It's timeless, eternal. It will never end. Our earth, our life will. So as I conclude, the obvious application is surely this. Every day, let's spend some time praising and worshipping a wonderful God. How good he is. In so many ways, incredible ways, everyday ways, mind-boggling ways, awe-inspiring ways. And as we do so, let's realize he alone is to be worshipped and glorified. He alone is good. And if we are going through trials, let's remember this. We can trust a good God. He knows what he's doing. Often we don't. He is in total control. We certainly aren't. He has a perfect plan for your life and my life. Let's trust him. And as a final encouragement, if you're going through those trials, let me read the verse that preceded that passage in Romans 8. Because Paul tells us, his readers, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Maybe we are facing tough times. Let's remember that. And in spite of what we're going through, let's remember how good is our God. I'd like you just to bow your heads now, please. Just for a change, just going to have 2 minutes of silence. And during those 2 minutes, just go through in your mind, how many blessings can you find to thank God for? Material, personal, spiritual. Let's worship in our hearts before we come to sing. How good is our God?